We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hello, guys. Happy Thanksgiving. I have Melissa DeRosa, Rob Mojica, Dr. Zucker, Beth, Gareth Rhodes on the phone. Happy Thanksgiving, and I gave you all a break today. I'm going to do this on the telephone so you can enjoy the day with your family, as long as we're all doing it safely. The numbers today, today's day 270. We did 200,000 tests. Positivity with the microclusters, 3.1, which is down from 3.6. Positivity without those zones, 2.6, down from 3. Focus, the microcluster zone, 4.9, down from 5. Death rate is up. 67 New Yorkers died from COVID yesterday. 3,056 hospitalized, at 74 plus, 628 in ICU, that's up 32, 286 intubated, that's up 9. So the rate is down a notch, 67 passed away, and plus 74 hospitalized. The numbers, we know what's going on, and the numbers tell the same story in the movie in New York. Relative to the rest of the country, New York State is still doing phenomenally well. And that's thanks to the good actions of New Yorkers. Of course, the state, the highest rate is Western New York, 5.4. And then we have Central New York, 3.5, Capital District, 2.3, Long Island, 3.3, Mohawk Valley, 3.2, New York City, 2.5, North Country, 2.1, Southern Tier, 1.3. Southern Tier has been a real turnaround. Philly, congratulations to them. I talked to the at length to the Biden COVID transition team yesterday, and that was a welcome relief. It's a much different federal posture. They get it. They understand it. They've been studying it. And it's about the facts and it's about the science. But that was a very good conversation. We've been speaking with many of them all throughout this. And our New York approach really is the one that incorporates the most science. So that was productive and helpful. We do have issues with the current federal administration on the vaccination plan, the immigration data, as well as the lack of an outreach for black and brown communities and poor communities and rural communities. What we're going to be doing through this Thanksgiving weekend and into next week, we're going to be working on now a winter plan. All the global experts say the same thing. This virus has phases. As the phase changes, your plan should change. Phases can be seasonal, summer plan, fall plan, winter plan. It can be triggered by the numbers. When you're flat, when there's a gentle increase, when there's a large increase, you get to the same point. You're seeing an increase in the numbers across the country. Started with the fall, it's going to continue and probably worsen in the winter. What stops it? Not the vaccine, because the timing of the vaccine is going to be more attenuated than the publicity about the vaccine. It's great that we have the vaccine, but when you get into the details of the production level of the vaccine, the delivery of the vaccine, the administration of the vaccine, then the prioritization, start with nursing homes, healthcare personnel, et cetera, you're talking months and months before you get to the general public or a critical mass where it will make an actual difference in the net infection rate. So we have to now reconfigure for a winter plan. And we want to assess the consequence of Thanksgiving. There are a number of theories about how bad the increase will be after Thanksgiving, but they all project an increase post-Thanksgiving. We see the air travel has increased. We see the car travel has increased. And we know that the more social activity, the higher the infection rate. And we know we have more social interaction, period. On the winter plan, we're going to stay with the microcluster approach because that targets the spread. It minimizes economic impact, and it stresses individual and community accountability and responsibility. So that's working very well, and all the experts think that is the state of the art. The yellow, orange, red, we want to add factors, most notably hospitalization rate and availability of hospital beds, ICU beds, because that is the worst case scenario, right, is you run out of hospital beds. You see that we had to do a field hospital in Staten Island. Massachusetts is opening field hospitals. Other states are opening field hospitals. So we want to add a number of factors to the yellow, orange, red. Criticality is going to be, has to weigh hospital capacity. And infection rate in a place that has a shortage of hospital beds is more serious than an infection rate in a place that has fewer hospital beds. So that's one of the exercises we're going through now, and we're working with experts. Also, second factor in the winter plan is going to be keeping the schools open, especially K to 8. Junior high is a different situation, but keeping the schools open, keeping them open by setting a safe positivity rate. All the data says the schools are safer than the surrounding community. We want to continue testing in the schools, but we need a sustainable testing rate in the schools. In other words, if we want to keep the schools open, it has to be a level of testing that the local school districts can provide for a prolonged period of time. Winter plan, you have to get through the winter. So how many tests can you now dedicate just to the school system? And that number varies across the state, and how many tests do you need to be monitoring the schools to make sure they stay safe? And then you have to balance the number of tests you do in schools with the number of tests you do in nursing homes, the number of tests you do for essential workers, et cetera, right? So that's something we're working on in the winter plan. And then the winter plan is also going to develop a vaccine distribution plan that does it fairly and effectively, and prioritizes the vaccines in the most judicious way. So those are the three elements that will be in the winter plan. The zones, the microclusters, adding other factors, including the hospitalization, ICU bed availability, et cetera. In that calculus is also elective surgery. Second, and whether or not we need additional field hospitals. Second, the schools and the testing of the schools to keep them open at a rate that's sustainable. Third, a vaccine distribution plan. And the more data you have, the smarter the decisions you make. We want to see what Thanksgiving actually did, if it did it evenly across the state, if it caused a spike in some parts of the state. We can't tell now if there's more social interaction proportionately from Thanksgiving in certain parts of the state. Like, I can't tell you if Buffalo is seeing proportionately more social activity because of Thanksgiving than New York City, than Long Island. And there is a lag on the infection rate. If somebody gets COVID today at a Thanksgiving, you won't see that show up for days, possibly. Well, days, certainly, but how many days? The more data, the better. And we're talking to local governments also in developing this winter plan. One other point, the Supreme Court made a ruling. I think that Supreme Court ruling on the religious gatherings is more illustrative of the Supreme Court than anything else. It's irrelevant from any practical impact because the zone that they were talking about has already been moot. It expired last week. So I think this was really just an opportunity for the court to express its philosophy and politics. It doesn't have any practical effect. And in terms of religious gatherings, look, I'm a former altar boy, Catholic, Catholic grammar school, Catholic high school, Jesuits at college. So I fully respect religion, and if there's a time in life when we need it, the time is now. But we want to make sure we keep people safe at the same time. And that's the balance we're trying to hit, especially through this holiday season and the coming Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, et cetera, celebrations. Last point, happy Thanksgiving. Celebrate. Just do it safely. Let's not create more of an issue. And again, people have to appreciate the dichotomy. I'm going to be home. I'm with my family. That is the safe place in life. That's the safe place where I go for refuge, with my family, in my home, or in someone else's home, but with family, with friends. That's my place of refuge. I need refuge. Yes, except that's not necessarily a safe place. The CDC numbers, the spread is going to be from pre-symptomatic or asymptomatic people, people who don't even know they have the virus. It's not that they're going to be malicious. It's going to be accidental. It's going to be involuntary. So what appears safe is no longer safe in this crazy world. With that, let's take a couple of questions, and then let's go eat some turkey.
As a reminder, to ask a question, you will need to press star 1 on your telephone. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. We have a first question from the line of David Evans from Channel 7 ABC. Your line is now open.
Okay. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving, Governor.
Let me ask you a question, Dave. Do your socks have turkeys on them? Tell the truth.
No, they
tell
definitely
the truth.
Don't. And they're tall socks because, you know, we're past Labor Day, so it's, you know, yeah. it's gonna get cold.
You don't have Happy Thanksgiving socks on.
No, I got to go to work here in a second. Well, I mean, I'm working now, but I got to go to the office and look at least halfway decent.
All right. I have Happy Thanksgiving socks on.
we don't get to see you. We don't see you.
I gave you a break today. See, I could have made you come over.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, Mariah couldn't be with you this year. But I wanted to ask you about the Supreme Court decision. I know you said that it has no practical effect because of the zones that these churches, synagogues are not in the zones. The zones have changed. But I wanted to ask you, do you think that in the future that we're going to see synagogues and churches, if they want to have, for example, a wedding with 7,000 people, that they're going to feel that they now have leeway to go ahead and do that? And my second question along with this is this the kind of decision that you and I think a lot of other people feared would be coming from the Supreme Court when we had it packed now with 6 Supreme Court justices who are conservative?
Well, two things. One, the decision isn't final in the first place, right? It goes back to the Second Circuit Appeals Court. So it's not even a final legal decision. Second, it didn't affect our mass gathering rules, the 25%, 33%, et cetera. It didn't mention those. It didn't mention the overall limits. But third, yeah, I think, Dave, the basic point is, you know, why does the court rule on an issue that is moot which they had just decided several months before in other cases, because there were other cases that presented the same argument. Why rule on a case that is moot and come up with a different decision than you did several months ago on the same issue? You have a different court. And I think that was the statement that the court was making. So I would agree with those people who say it's a different court, and they wanted to make the statement that it's a different court. That's the statement they're making. I understand that. And that's to be expected. I mean, we know who he appointed to the court. We know their ideology. Next question, operator.
We have our next question from the line of Joe Spector from USA Today. Your line is now open.
Hi, Governor. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too, buddy.
Just on the court ruling, so you got microcluster zones all around the state. Are you suggesting that those zones will not, you know, will still continue with the same restrictions on religious gatherings? And just also, you talked about the vaccines. Are you concerned that New York's not going to get the vaccines like other states because of President Trump's threats on that? And, you know, you heard Dr. Fauci the other day saying to you and other governors, it's fine if you want to do your own review, but don't worry about it. These vaccines are going to be reviewed by the FDA. They're going to be safe. And he's concerned that there might be sending mixed messages to people who might want to go get the vaccine because they're concerned about states' review.
Yeah, I hear you. Let's do both. First, the judicial determination on the court, on the specific, is not final. It goes to the appeals court now. So there will be no effect one way or the other across the state because the issue is just not decided, right? So there won't be any change. On the approval, I understand what Dr. Fauci is saying. Dr. Fauci is saying he wants people to feel confident. So he's saying feel confident. Also, you could read into his statements, President Trump is no longer going to be a factor in influencing the FDA because Donald Trump is no longer going to be president. The fact is, Joe, you have an existing problem. Kaiser poll, 60% of the people said they believe that the FDA was politically influenced. Pew poll, Kaiser and Pew are not political organizations. CNN, ABC, NBC polls, which are not political organizations. You have an existing problem. To allay that problem, I said, California said, seven other states said, look, I know you don't trust the FDA because 60% said so in the Kaiser Pew poll, 50% Pew. We'll have a state panel review the FDA. I will be the first person to put the needle in his arm after the state panel says it's okay. I would never ask the people of New York to take a vaccine that I didn't believe was safe, and I wouldn't take myself. That's the best way I know to build confidence in the vaccine. And if people don't have confidence, you don't get past step one, right? The New York panel approval will be virtually simultaneous with the FDA approval. I've told the FDA and the federal government, we will have the panel act, the state panel act, within 24 hours of the federal panel acting. Because the state panel is not going to do independent tests. They're just going to review the process to make sure it was a bona fide process. So there will be no delay. It will be within 24 hours. If the FDA or Azar, Secretary Azar from HHS, if they politically manipulate the delivery of the vaccine, and if they try to retaliate against the states that did these panels, which happen to be Democratic states that President Trump lost, I think that would be a criminal, potentially criminal act, and that Secretary Azar could have potential criminal liability. You know, not only is it ethical and immoral to manipulate government practices for political goals, which they have done repeatedly to New York, right? That's the Trusted Traveler Program, where they use Department of Homeland Security as a political tool. If Secretary Azar continues being the political puppet, which he is, and if they try to politically manipulate the delivery of the vaccine, I think that is potentially criminal liability for Secretary Azar. And Secretary Azar has been the instrumentality of the political manipulation. Remember, Secretary Azar was Mr. Hydroxychloroquine, the miracle drug. CDC, FDA, they all report to Secretary Azar. It all came from him. Secretary Azar is the one who hired Caputo as the spokesperson for HHS because of his vast medical experience and health and human service experience. That's why they hired Caputo as the spokesperson for HHS. So unless they're willing to subject themselves to that, Joe, I think there's an issue. And they're out anyway, right? So it's literally at that point going to be a matter of days before the incoming administration takes control. And it would really be foolhardy to make that do anything that malicious, posing that kind of liability to you for so little effect. But no, our panel will act within 24 hours. And you're also talking about California, New York. You're talking about seven of the biggest states, which happen to be Democratic states, and all of which were trying to correct a problem he created. We didn't create the problem of 60% of the people not believing the FDA. He politicized the health process in this country. He politicized the CDC. He politicized FDA. He politicized HHS. And then you're shocked that people don't trust the public health system. They did it to themselves. I want people feeling confident. That's why I'm willing to be the first to take the vaccine. I mean, I can't take a bolder step at building confidence, right? Let's take one more, operator. The turkey calls out. The turkey calls.
The last question comes from Courtney Gross from New York One. Your line is now open.
Hi, Governor. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Courtney.
So I know you said, I want to go back to the Supreme Court decision. I know you said that the ruling doesn't have any practical effect, but I'm slightly confused. If I am operating some church or synagogue today and I want to have some sort of service, how many people can I practically have in my building today? I mean, my understanding that you'd be able to have more after tonight or yesterday's decision. And then on the vaccine distribution front, have you determined how you will prioritize people as of this point? Will it be health workers and essential workers getting the vaccine first, or will it be the more medically vulnerable?
Yeah. Okay, let's do this quickly. First, the lawsuit was about the Brooklyn Zone. The Brooklyn Zone no longer exists as a red zone, right? That's mooted. So that restriction is not in effect. That's why the whole case was moot. That's what was irregular about the Supreme Court taking it up, since the situation presented no longer exists because we changed that zone designation last week or the week before. But on the current rules, so that zone doesn't exist. That situation just doesn't exist because those restrictions are gone. The general restrictions that are in place on the yellow, orange, red. Beth, do you want to go through that quickly? And then Gareth, will you do the priority levels, please?
Yes. So as the governor noted, this really was mooted as it relates to the Brooklyn zones. The 50% restriction is the 50% capacity restriction that has been in place for some time now for our religious institutions. The per curiam decision initially noted that some capacity restrictions could be permissible. So for the other zones, the capacity restrictions are still not questioned by that court ruling. So we will be looking around the state at the other zones. We will be looking at the capacity restrictions that currently exist in the red zones. What the opinion addressed was the per person limit in these areas. So 25% in a red zone, 33% in an orange zone, as it relates to the capacity of the religious institution, and also noting, you know, that additional restrictions like wearing of masks and social distancing could also certainly be enforced.
So, this, Beth, you're saying all the percentages remain the same. Nothing changed. The only question was of the Brooklyn red zone, which is no longer a red zone.
Correct. And so in the Brooklyn red zone, which is no longer a red zone, the court saying you would be enjoined from enforcing below 50% capacity is the current rule.
Okay.
So that will go back for further litigation in the Second Circuit.
Yes, which is pointless because it's no longer a red zone, so we don't have any desire to enforce red zone restrictions in Brooklyn since it's no longer a red zone. Gareth, can you do the prioritization of the vaccination plan?
Yes, Governor. So, Courtney, we laid out in late October a proposed plan regarding which the vaccination priority. We have five different priority approaches. We have five different phases of priority. The first one, we have healthcare workers in patient care settings, so the people who are most likely to interact with patients. We then have long-term care facility workers who regularly interact with the residents in those facilities, and then the most at-risk long-term care facility patients. So that is what we have put forward as our top priority. And of course, within that, we have subcategories, because a lot of this depends on how many vaccine doses you get. So we have, within these, we prioritize people who are the most vulnerable, or people who interact with the most patients or most residents. So depending on how many doses we get, we can target and administer and deliver this in the most effective way possible. And then if you go to the other phases of priority, in the second phase, we have first responders, we have teachers and school staff, we have public health workers, essential frontline workers that regularly interact with the public. This would be pharmacists, grocery store workers, transit employees, those who maintain the critical infrastructure. We have then in that second phase of priority, other long-term care facility patients, ones who are less vulnerable, others living in congregate settings, and individuals in the general population who are particularly high risk on a analysis of comorbidities and other health conditions. So those are the first two groups of priority. In the one, then we have individuals over 65 and then individuals under 65 at high risk of comorbidities and other health conditions. In the fourth phase, we have other essential workers. And then in the last phase, healthy adults and children. And then we look at this in terms also of where the, when we receive these doses, what is the geographic prevalence of the cases and the viral spread at the moment in the state. So we'll look at this in terms of geography in communities that we know have been the hardest hit and are continuing to get the hardest hit. So these are all factors that we take into account, but as a lot of this depends on some of the answers that we've been looking for, how many doses we expect to get over what time period, which vaccine, some of these vaccines, if you look at the results of the trials, might be more appropriate for older adults or younger adults. These are all factors that we take into consideration. And we also lay this out in fairly extensive detail in the plan that we unveiled in late October.
Gareth, on the off chance that somebody didn't write down the 57 categories that you just went through, is the plan online?
Yes. Yes, it's on our website.
And where could Courtney get the plan online?
It is on our coronavirus website, but Courtney, I can send it to you as well.
It's on the coronavirus website?
Yes.
Okay. Melissa, Rob, Dr. Zucker, anyone want to add anything to what I said, clarify what I said, correct what I said? I am fully aware of my humanity and my ability to make mistakes.
Nope, all
Nobody?
Good. Happy Nothing Thanksgiving, guys.
All good.
Okay, happy Thanksgiving to everyone on the phone. I thank you for the service you've all done. This has been a heck of a year. It'll go down in the history books. But I'm proud of what New York has done, and I'm proud of what the people on this phone have done on both sides, my team and the New York Press Corps, which really stepped up. I was thinking about it the other day. We got that Emmy Award. The press, those briefings, I showed up, but they showed up too. You guys showed up every day, and it took guts, and it took courage, and I respect it. Happy Thanksgiving. Bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.